Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Honestly, the economy got a little scary in 2022, and that could continue in 2023. It's okay to admit when money gets stressful, but what if you had an objective, relatable expert to help navigate the financial world? That's where NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast comes in. Smart Money hosts Sean Piles and Sarah Raffner talk with experts from NerdWallet's team of 100 money nerds to help you make smart financial decisions without the stress. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast today.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. If you haven't figured it out, I am JR. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for the next 4 hours because that is what the hell I do. Every single weeknight starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. I appreciate you for listening right now. You could be at work. You could be at home. You could be in a vehicle. You could be laying down. You could be standing up. You could be in a chair. I don't know what you're doing. I'm happy that you're here. Man, oh man, oh man. We got a busy show. What else is new, right? NFL. Golf with the Masters. Got some NBA action. Got a couple of guests joining us tonight. Matter of fact, in about 20 minutes or so, we're going to have a conversation with one of Michael Jordan's former teammates. He also was a teammate with LeBron James. There were only four of those guys. And he has a new book out. His name is Scott Williams. The big man from the 90s is going to come through and have a conversation about his new book, Through the Fire. Find out more about that. Have some questions for him about, I don't know if you've seen this. We'll get into this too. Isaiah Thomas and Charles Oakley are going at it. And there's a lot going on. Tyreek Hill talked about quitting in a few years. And Cam Newton has a list of teams that he would be okay being a backup for. I'm like, oh, wow, beggars aren't really choosers now, are we? Mark Cuban is throwing a fit. We got a lot to do. In the next hour, we'll have a conversation with Michael Williams to figure out what's going on. And, well, not it's pretty far enough for me. I ain't driving out there. Out in Augusta, the Masters is going on. And so one of my favorite golf analysts, Michael Williams, covers golf for CBS Radio and a million other places. He's going to come through and give us the lowdown on what's going on at Augusta. If you want to talk to us, it's simple. The phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Dave Shepard live in New York City. Hey, Shep, how was your day, man? You doing good?
I'm doing really well, JR. It felt like a legitimate spring day today. How is it in Atlanta, man? I hope not too hot.
Nah, it's like, I don't know. Every day is like somewhere between 70 and 80, so I'm good.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I can't complain. I was inside all day for the most part, but I looked outside and saw the sun. So what do I know?
There you go.
Anyway, here we go. I want to get this out the way. Right before I went on air, I said, oh, NBA season is coming to a close. Miami Heat in Philadelphia taking on the Sixers. Joel Embiid just put up a 52-point game. I said, I want to see this game. The Miami Heat had 41 points in the first quarter. At one point in the third quarter, Miami led by 26 points and the final score 129-101. In this entire game, I said, what the hell am I watching? Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, they had 24 points each. And Philadelphia at this point, what are they playing for? Nothing. Joel Embiid was healthy. He was running around out there. 30 minutes, had 21 points. James Harden was out there. He had 14 points. This was just, if I was a Sixers fan and I had tickets to this game, I would just say to myself, well, why did I just waste my coin? I feel like going to an NBA game is more buyer beware than going to one of these fights where a guy is training for 2 months and 3 months, and the next thing you know, fight is canceled because he pulled an eyelash or something like that. This stinks in basketball, and I understand. The Philadelphia 76ers, they don't have nothing to play for. The third seed overall in the East is all locked up. You have Miami, who's in the seventh seed right now. By winning, they stay alive and have a little bit of hope to jump into the sixth seed from the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, the sixth seed is theirs. All they have to do is win one game, or Miami might have to lose one game, and it's curtains. Miami has games left against Washington and Orlando. And then even from a Sixers perspective, they're on a back-to-back. The 76ers are coming here to Atlanta tomorrow, Friday. I want to go see Joel Embiid. Should I? Should I take my ass to State Farm Arena? And will I see Joel Embiid play? Hey, Shepard, you think this man's going to play tomorrow?
No.
He's going to be sitting on the bench.
Want him to for your sake, but he's not playing.
I know Sixer fans here in Atlanta, they want to go see the Sixers. They want to see Joel Embiid. But they know he's not going to play. And from the Sixers' perspective, let's think about this for a minute. Why would he play? This is a dude who finished last season. Joel Embiid finished last year. He had a broken bone in his face. He had two wraps on his hand. And you would have thought he was in there with, I don't know, George Foreman. Hey, Shep, by the way, George Foreman will join us on the show next Friday.
That's amazing.
So now I'll have to watch the movie, okay?
You were probably going to watch it anyway. They don't make too many great movies about boxers anymore, so this certainly comes to mind.
Oh, well, what about fictitious boxers? Well,
they make a lot of those. A lot of those. One happened to be at the game last night.
Yeah, Creed was good. Shout-outs to Michael B. Jordan for coming through. But anyway, Joel Embiid last year looked like he got hit in the face by George Foreman. And this is just terrible for the NBA. And it's not just, and sure, people will still go to the games. I'll still go. I feel bad because when I go, I'm using a credential. I'm not paying. I feel bad for people who spend their hard-earned money and go to these NBA games, and they get shafted. In a certain degree, I think there should be a rule. I think most people understand it's already buy beware, but then if you get screwed, it doesn't make you feel any better. How about this? This game, it just got underway. Just got underway on TNT. I'm looking up at it now. You have the Nuggets, and you have the Suns. None of the Nuggets starting lineup is in there. None of them. There's a guy on the Nuggets right now. I'm looking. I don't know who the hell this guy is. There is no Jokic. It's calf. Michael Porter Jr. is dealing with a heel injury. Jamal Murray has a busted thumb. Aaron Gordon is dealing with a shoulder issue. And the Denver Nuggets have already locked up the number one overall seed. What do they have to play for, right? Nothing. And then meanwhile, you got the Phoenix Suns. They got their roster out there. Who's this guy? What's this man's name? Braun? Christian Braun from Kansas, a guard. 21 years old. I was like, who's this white guy wearing number zero? He's played in 73 games. He gets 15 minutes. He's averaging 4 points. I have never seen this man in my life. And he's the starting Shep. What is he doing out there?
Oh, I made a joke. He's the starting center. They're actually having a guy that really shouldn't even be in the NBA anymore as their starting center. So I made a joke. But he is their starting guard.
DeAndre Jordan is playing basketball. We just need that. I tweeted this out before the show. With the NBA season in its current state, we should just chop off the rest of the season right now. Thank God the season ends on Sunday. It's going to be over. We're going to move into the play-in games. We're going to watch a bunch of losers advance, unless it's the Western Conference. Maybe those teams will have a chance to actually go somewhere in the East. Who cares about the play-in? I look forward to seeing, hope I can get to a Hawks play-in game. That'll be curtains for their season sooner than later. Sorry, all my friends here in Atlanta. But I'm counting down the days, man. Let's get through the end of the regular season. Ain't nobody playing for anything anymore. It's an embarrassment. Let's get through the play-in next week. See what losers just end their season. And then let's get to some real NBA playoff basketball. Because turning on a Thursday night game, looking at the Denver Nuggets, knowing that none of their starters are playing, none of them, and I'm a huge, just ridiculous, maniacal NBA fan. The Nuggets got a guy on the team that I have never seen in my life. It's like they had a casting call and said, hey, we need you. And here he is, Christian Braun, 4 points, 2 rebounds for the season. This stinks. You know what? You want to know how bad it stinks? I'll let you hear some of it yourself, man. Earlier on in the game, I told you about this disaster. This was pretty poor. With the Sixers losing and getting lit up by the Miami Heat 129-101. Let's listen to some of that ass whooping. This is late in the game. I told you Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, they had 24 each. Jimmy Butler, no resistance. And the Heat announcers on Heat Radio, they're amazing. This is just a layup in the third quarter. Listen to the disparity, 20 points.
He gets it to Jimmy. Jimmy with PJ in front. Snaps it out top to Love. Pump fake. Back to Jimmy. Top of the arc, top of the circle. Bottom of the circle. Bounces off the glass for two. Timeout, Philadelphia. Butler has 24 to go with 3 rebounds and 6 assists. Heat back up 20.
20 points? Yeah, Tyler Hero. Let's get a Tyler Hero highlight in there. Tyler Hero likes to shoot threes. I believe he had 5 of them on the night. Let's hear one of them.
Lowry on the drive. Kicks it out to Tyler. One on the shot clock. Rips the net. Good. The Miami Heat have hit 16 of 35 from downtown. 101 points with over 10 minutes to go.
Jason Jackson, who you hear, he calls the Heat games. He needs a raise for having to sit down and call this crap. Hey, here's another Tyler Hero 3.
Tyler, the quick 3. Oh, he feels it. He ripped it. He has 5 threes in this game. Tyler up to 24 points. Tied for the game lead. It's an 11-2 run for Miami, up 104-80 with 9:37 to go.
You know what? Let's just punctuate this. Caleb Martin went in for a slam dunk late in the game, too. Let's hear the dunk.
Love just got stripped by Reed. He got it to Milton for 3. He misses. Love gets that one to Tyler. He kicks it ahead to Lowry. Lowry up top to Martin. One-hand throw down. Climbing Caleb Mountain, where the air is rare. but good for your lungs.
I knew he was going to say something stupid. That's why I wanted to hear it. Climbing Caleb Mountain, where the air, did he say the air is rare, Shep? Is that what he said?
And feels so good.
And feels so good. That was more entertaining than the stupid-ass game I just watched. I want my money back, and I didn't pay for it. Maybe Turner will send me some cash. That'd be nice. Anyway, NBA season, they should just end it today if the teams aren't going to play. Let's call it a wrap and go into the dumb playing. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm sick of watching, who's this guy? Christian Braun. I'm sick of watching him play basketball, and I've only seen him for 30 seconds. I'm tired of him. I got no interest in these Denver Nuggets. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to someone who actually played in the NBA. I'm talking 15 years. Three championships, the first three-peat with the Chicago Bulls. He went to North Carolina, played there after Mr. Michael Jordan, and then became his teammate. And he has a new book out. It's called Through the Fire by Scott Williams. Former NBA vet, coach, current broadcaster, Mr. Everything. Scott Williams is going to join us on the other side of the break, tell us about the book. I'm going to ask him about the current state of the NBA. I know he's a Cali guy. I'm asking about them Lakers. And we'll talk about some of his former teammates and more. Don't move. We're just getting started. The JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Man, we talked about that blowout that the Sixers just received on the other side of the Miami Heat. So let's get away from them. Let's talk to someone who's actually been a champion in the NBA, a three-time champion. Let's have a conversation with someone who had a 15-year career, playing career, someone who has coached, someone who has broadcasted, and more recently is now an author. Through the Fire is the name of the book. You can pick it up on Amazon right now today. It is NBA veteran and legend Scott Williams. Scott, how are you, man?
JR, I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate you bringing me in like that, man. It made me sound real accomplished over the course of my time since I've left school. I appreciate that. I'm happy to be on your show. I appreciate the platform. I want to bring some awareness to my project, Through the Fire, a memoir of trauma of lost basketball and triumph, and try to do some good for a couple local domestic violence centers.
I hear you. So I understand that your inspiration to put this book together, like a lot of things that were born, was kind of born out of the pandemic. What happened at that point in time? And fill everybody in as to why you wanted to put this together.
Yeah, I guess you kind of, you know, you take a message, you try to make a message. Well, what happened was, you know, it was jonesing for sports like everybody else. And Michael Jordan released his 10-part documentary, The Last Dance. And I made my week around that, you know, what I was going to do for dinner, a bottle of wine I was going to crack open, and start doing some podcasts and some NBA TV stuff with some of my former teammates, B.J. Armstrong, Stacey King, Will Perdue, and reminiscing about stories. And it just led to me putting some things on Facebook. And then guys were like, yeah, I want some more of that. You should write a biography. And I said, well, I don't know the first thing about being an author. I can't even spell it. And I happened to get a call from a guy who was working on a book. He wasn't a basketball guy, but he wanted to learn basketball terminology and philosophy and thought process. And I said, well, I'll help you with your book if you help me with mine. So I started telling him about all my stories in the NBA, and he goes, well, we got to take it back to before you were in the league. So we took it back to my childhood and started dealing with all of the abuse that I suffered, my brother and my mother, at the hands of my father. And it's real, and it was kind of traumatic, but also therapeutic to put it down on paper, and I was nervous and apprehensive of wanting to share some of these things that I've never shared with anybody in my life before. But it's authentic, and I think people are connecting to that. And, you know, Coach Smith, who recruited me out of California, I was his first recruit west of the Mississippi, told my mother when I went to school that he'd look out for me. And he had no idea the first day of practice my sophomore year after my mother had separated from my father, he'd have to knock on my door and give me the news that my dad found her in her apartment complex and turned a gun on her and then turned a gun on himself.
Scott Williams is joining us, three-time champ with the Bulls, telling us about his book, Through the Fire, Scott's memoir of trauma, loss, basketball, and triumph. I know Dean Smith didn't just deliver that unfortunate news to you. Dean Smith, through his lessons, just used basketball to improve your life and keep you going. How did he contribute to that, and how did basketball save your life and bring you to this point?
Oh, Jay, I'm glad you asked, because I'm trying to honor Coach Smith and my mother by writing this book and putting it all out there. True to his word, he had built a culture at North Carolina, a family, and that family wrapped itself around me, and his practices were my therapy. Having to lock into a Dean Smith practice and concentrate on all the things that he was teaching, banging with my teammates, Joe Wolf, J.R. Reed, Pete Chilcutt, Marty Hensley in practice every day, working to try to improve with Coach Williams 45 minutes before practice. He would wear us out and Coach Smith get a hold of us. And the great thing about North Carolina, yes, we work hard, we're competitive. Coach Smith was the most competitive person I'd been around. And he had an offensive emphasis of the day and a defensive emphasis of the day. But most importantly on that practice plan, everybody's responsibility, remember, was the thought for the day. And that literally had nothing to do with basketball whatsoever. It had to do with life. And one thought for the day that come up over the years from time to time would be repeated was, it's never too late to do the right thing. And here I am some three decades later, finally being able to tell this story with the hopes that maybe I'll help a young boy or a young girl or a young woman that's in an abusive situation realize that you can lean on people for help the way I leaned on Coach Smith and my Carolina family.
Hey, Scott, I think that's an awesome message. I want to commend you for that. Even after your time at North Carolina, you went undrafted. Your time at UNC came after Jordan was already in the league, and it was actually participating in a charity basketball game that helped open up that door for you into the NBA. Tell us that story.
Yeah, small world. So, you know, obviously Jordan being a North Carolina alum as well, had connections in the state. One of his good buddies, Fred Whitfield, who was a lawyer in Greensboro, very civic-minded, community-minded individual, was putting together a camp for underprivileged kids called Achievements Unlimited. And I had found out about this game that they played with Jordan, and he brings some guys from the Bulls and some guys from the newly expansion team, the Hornets, would come up and play. And I said, well, I got to get in this game, because if I'm going to make a chance of playing in the pros, I got to play against pro guys and see where I measure up. So I happened to be put on Jordan's team and got a rebound late in the ball game. And I don't say I dominated the game, but I got a good physical game from a guy that had just left the year before, J.R. Reed. He gave me a good physical game, and that's my style of play. So I showed real well. And moving him around and getting that offensive rebound and firing it over Jordan, with the game on the line, of course, dude knocks down the shot, right? Money. So as he's getting into his little red Corvette, I'll never forget that image, with Fred Whitfield driving out of the high school, he calls Jerry Krause, the general manager of the Chicago Bulls, and says, I think you should give Williams a look-see. And I rode that to an invitation to the summer league. That's when we were at Loyola Marymount, practicing that hot little box of a gym. Got from there, got the extension to the veterans camp, and there were seven of us trying out for the last spot on the roster. Back then, we only carried 12 guys, and 11 were already under contract. So seven of us in the van one day, four the next day, and then it's just me and another dude. And then one day I got down in that van, I was the only one there, and I rode that all the way to three championships.
I love it. Scott Williams is here with us, former Chicago Bull, three-time champ, as he said, a 15-year NBA career. We hear so many stories about Jordan and his competitiveness. We even heard about still Isaiah Thomas and him just going back and forth, or maybe it's a one-way at this point. What don't we know, or what haven't we seen? Is there one story that would show a different perspective that you've seen from Michael Jordan that doesn't involve him being hyper-competitive?
Well, I love telling a hyper-competitive story, but one that I will tell that I think kind of got misconstrued in The Last Dance. You know, he used to play cards in the back of the plane with some of the guys. They play for, you know, larger sums of money. We play for up front, me, Stacey King, and B.J. Armstrong. You know, we play in 5 and 10 hands of blackjack. And he would come up to the front of the plane after playing in the back for a while. And I just liked the way he connected with everybody. You know, he'd say, I'll be the bank. You bet whatever makes you uncomfortable in a laughing matter. But because he never wanted to separate himself from the team. He realized that there's not too many places out on the road grabbing a bite to eat where it's not a distraction for the rest of us to be able to have a good time, because he was like a rock star. He was like a Beatle when he went out, man. He would draw a crowd anywhere he went. So he had to pick his moments of where he could connect with everybody on the squad, whether it was me talking about North Carolina or Will Perdue about being down in the South and playing at Vanderbilt, laughing and joking with him that, you know, he just went to a brilliant academic institution, not really a basketball school. So I thought that was something that he probably learned from Coach Smith, that the superstar can't be bigger than the program. And I thought that was a good way him connect. Sometimes we'd be out at dinner, all of a sudden we'd ask for the bill and it'd be like, it's already been paid for. And once you see Jordan had slipped through the back door and had a table in a quiet little spot. You see, he picked up the tab. Little things like that, I think, made for the camaraderie and the chemistry of the basketball club. We went like, hey, we're never going to get our names in the paper in front of Michael Jordan's, but that spotlight's so big, it shines on all of us, and we're happy to be a supporting troop.
15-year NBA vet Scott Williams is here with us. You played not just with Jordan, but over those 15 years, you played with a relatively still young Michael Jordan. You played with Allen Iverson, and then you played first couple of years with LeBron James. These are our superstars, Hall of Famers, and legends. Can you tell me three similarities, or just one similarity that ties the three of them together, and then something that makes them different?
JR, you're not going to get me to say a good thing about Allen Iverson ever. I love the Michael Jordan, LeBron James. I can go there all day. The work ethic, the thirst for knowledge, the competitiveness. I got a young Allen Iverson in Philadelphia who was all about Allen Iverson. He was bigger than the team, didn't care about the overall team success. He was on a mission for only looking out for him. He should have been playing tennis or swimming. He was the worst teammate I ever had in 15 years. So the other two guys I'd love to wax poetic on. I had a lot of love for them. There's a lot of debate of who's the greatest. I write about that in my book. They're both phenomenal players. I love the way they approach the game a little bit differently. But Allen Iverson's not a guy you're going to get me to say a whole lot of good things about.
Wow. Scott Williams here with us. Well, we see that a lot. That's something that's missed in the game today. And not necessarily the, you know, me first or team first. We see that from a lot of guys. Do you feel that has changed over time, or has that always permeated even back when you got started in the early 90s?
Well, now when I got back started in the early 90s, it was, at least on most of the ball clubs that I was on, it was about trying to win. Sure, it's a business. Everybody wants to get their stack their chips. But at the end of the day, it's a very small window of opportunity you have to be a professional basketball player. Even the 15 years that I enjoyed, it seemed like it was a blink of an eye compared to the rest of my, you know, been out of the league for nearly 20 years now. This is so important to guys that are competitive, that want to be known as winners. I think people that just want to get checks on the first and the 15th, they don't give a damn about that.
Scott Williams is here. As we get ready to wrap things up, Scott, and thank you for taking the time. Controversy is always around. We just witnessed and saw the most viewed, women's college basketball game ever between Iowa and LSU. There are a lot of conversations about sportsmanship and me first and who's important and not important and taunting and even elements of I'm going or not going to the White House. We heard Angel Reese say that, yeah, I don't know if I'm going. You've been, man. What is that experience like? I know there's a lot of politics involved with who's in the seat or not in the seat. How would you summarize that experience, and what advice would you give to someone who gets the chance or the opportunity?
No, I relished it. I thought it was, you know, one of those perks of winning a championship, being at the nation's capital with the most powerful individual on the planet. I thought that was a really cool thing. I would never turn that opportunity down. So much history about our country there in that building. I don't know too much of the story about what Angel Reese has said. I know about the taunting with Caitlin Clark. That was the one story that I did get. I'd rather talk about that a little bit. And I will say this, taunting has been a part of basketball since I was probably in the Hacienda Heights Basketball Association in the sixth grade when I first was learning the fundamentals. You want to try to gain an advantage on the court, whether it be with your play or getting inside someone's head, getting in their kitchen, trying to throw them off of their game. That's all part of it. Now, there's also a thing called winning with grace. When the game is decided, I think that's when you put that element of the game aside and you shut that down. I'm not trying to say what Angel Reese did was after the fact, because I didn't watch the basketball game. I could only see still photos for the most part. And that fine line of when she had the game won versus trying to psych out an opponent, that's a tough one to walk. And I know sometimes your adrenaline, your emotions get the better of you. That's what I would have thought when I saw one of the still pictures, that she could have dialed it down a little bit. Yeah, it's fine in the third quarter. It's fine midway through the fourth quarter. But they won by 15 points at some point in time while the clock was still ticking. That game had been decided. I think Angel Reese needed to dial it back some.
Scott Williams joining us. Last and final question. You talk about being competitive, and this was a game on Sunday. Just over the past couple of days, past couple of weeks, we have seen Charles Oakley go at Isaiah Thomas and Isaiah Thomas respond to Charles Oakley just on the basis of Isaiah's relationship with your old teammate as well, just Michael Jordan. This is now 30 years down the line. At what point does it stop being competitive and everybody has to go, wait a minute, like we're a little too old for this, or is there ever a point?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I kind of find it a little bit funny watching these grown men with their gray hair and their pot bellies, you know, acting like they can still go out on the court and settle on the floor. So I kind of take a little bit funny, and I know Charles Oakley and Michael are phenomenally, you know, good friends and very close. I can see Charles trying to weigh in on that whole situation and say he's got MJ's back. And MJ, for the most part, is relatively quiet. I don't see much come from his side or his camp outside of Oakley. So, you know, I think some of it has to do with maybe they just want to see their names in the paper or on the internet, you know, or on the Sports Center. To me, it's childish. That's humorous. I don't think anybody's getting hurt from it. I guess let them have at it. Those are for those Hall of Famers that, quite frankly, Stacey Keene and I talk about was above our pay grade. We just stay in our lane.
I hear that. Well, Scott, you have a wealth of experience, and I appreciate you taking the time to hop on from your championships with the Bulls, the length of your career, your experience as a coach and a broadcaster. Tell everybody one more time where they can go ahead and get the book, Through the Fire.
Through the Fire is a memoir of trauma and loss, basketball, and triumph. It is available now on Amazon and Kindle, paperback and hardcover. You can also get it at barnesandnoble.com as well. Now, JR, I want to say I really appreciate you letting me come on and share on your platform. I hope to try to do some good for domestic violence victims. You know, 20 people every minute in the United States suffers from some form of domestic violence, and we want to try to help those folks.
Hey, I appreciate the cause, and thank you for bringing a message. We'll be talking to each other coming on soon down the line as well. You can rest assured of that, Scott. Thank you, man.
I appreciate that, Jay. I just want to know, do you got my sons coming out of the West? I'm headed to the game tonight.
Well, you heading to get the one that they already winning?
What's that?
The Suns?
The Suns Nuggets tonight, 7
o'clock. Oh, man. Yeah, well, the Denver Nuggets, me and you can still go out there and play. So just go out and play. Get involved. None of the stars are playing. The Suns stars are playing.
Man,
the Nuggets aren't.
I got to win in the West and going to the finals this year.
Hey, look, if they stay healthy, I'm not mad at you. I think that's a reality.
Well, we'll have to come back and talk some playoff hoops. Have me on another time, would you?
We'll come back on in a few weeks. Scott, I appreciate you.
Thank you, my man.
No doubt about it. Much love, much love to Scott Williams, 3-time champion with the Bulls, 15-year NBA career. Make sure you go ahead and get the memoir, Through the Fire, by Scott Williams, a memoir of trauma, loss, basketball, and triumph, available on Amazon and also hardcover. We're going to talk more about some things he said on the other side. Had some positive words to say about MJ and LeBron. Not so much. Well, nothing really at all about Allen Iverson. And we're going to get into this beef with Isaiah and Oak.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. JR wants to hear from you. Call him now at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I want to give a big thank you to 15-year NBA vet, 3-time champ with the Bulls, big man holding it down with the power, with the dirty work, Scott Williams. He came through to talk about his book, Through the Fire. It's his memoir of trauma, loss, basketball, and triumph. He's looking to raise awareness on issues of domestic violence of all forms. It doesn't necessarily have to be between two partners. And so thank you so much to Scott Williams for coming through and sharing how basketball saved his life, and sharing some stories with Michael Jordan, how he got into the league, his time as a champ with the Bulls, his visit to the White House, playing alongside LeBron James early in his career, and then also letting us know that Mr. Allen Iverson wasn't in their category when it came to being a good teammate. So thank you to Scott Williams. Go ahead and purchase his book, Through the Fire, on Amazon. And if you missed the interview, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. He also shared some points, a point, regarding Charles Oakley and Isaiah Thomas that I want to replay for you at the top of the hour, because we got vets and we got legends going at each other right now, and it's kind of like, y'all going to grow up? Before we do that at the top of the hour, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Sigma, calling from Arkansas. Sigma, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hello, my name is Sigma.
Yeah, how are you?
Hello, my name is Sigma, and they call me Sigma Mill.
Okay, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about?
I think that the Rockets are the best, and they're going to win this year.
Okay, thank you, Sigma. I appreciate you. That was a very... Hey, Shep, did you also have the Rockets winning this season, the championship?
I don't think the Rockets family members had the Rockets winning the NBA championship this season, but I guess the beauty of our country is that there is freedom of speech, and you can think, even though they were mathematically eliminated 2 months ago, that they still have a shot at winning the NBA championship and express that on the national airwaves.
Let's think about some other teams that are going to win a championship. You ready?
Yes.
Tell me your thoughts on these teams winning the championship this year, Shep.
Sure.
Portland Trailblazers.
They're bringing back LaMarcus Aldridge and Clyde Drexler in a time machine?
Okay, let's keep going. The San Antonio Spurs.
The same theory and logic would apply. Tim Duncan's not coming back anytime soon.
Okay, what's the team that Victor Wembanyama, can he come over and play in the playoffs?
Well, listen, the Spurs are certainly angling for him, and we know the ties he has with Tony Parker, so that may very well work in 2024. Who knows? Maybe Pop sticks around for another year of misery.
We have to wait a full season before, not even a full season. Now that I think about this.
Right.
I talked about at the beginning of the show, just like, let's get this current NBA season over with. Let's just go into the playoffs. We are realistically now at this point only months away from seeing Victor Wembanyama in the NBA. Months.
Six months away. Yep.
6 months away.
Yep.
He's going to be drafted in what? Two? What are we in? April, May, June?
Yeah, right after the NBA championship. And we're going to know.
Months.
Yeah, and JR, we're probably going to. It usually happens in the conference finals, as you know, when they reveal the draft lottery. Who's getting the number one overall pick?
I can't think about what team he's a loser-ass team. That we know that.
Well, a loser going to be a winner pretty soon when they get him. Let's just put. JR, this is no accident. This year particularly, there was a lot of tanking going on. Yeah, because teams are actually a lot better than they let on, but they understood the prize at the end of the tunnel here.
Yeah, let's just be one of the three worst teams and go for it.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see him in summer league. To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play much in summer league. And we'll see where he plays in June. And then we got to wait until September, October. But we don't have to wait too much longer before the NBA stops telling me at 1 p.m., hey, watch Victor Wembanyama. I don't have no time to watch this guy. I see the clips. He's taking a three. He misses the three. He jumps from the three-point line, and he puts the ball back in with a dunk because he's 9 feet tall. Great. And he's going to be good next year. Well, let me not say that. He's going to be fine, I believe, if he stays healthy. I think he'll also be pushed around just a little bit. I think there may be some development, more so than people realize, especially if folks put a body on him. Be interesting. Hey, we can look forward to Victor Wembanyama, but I'd rather just get the stupid NBA playoffs here first because these games, they ain't cutting it. Meanwhile, the Denver Nuggets and their bench warmers, they're playing a close game with the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix leading 49-45, about 3 minutes left in the game. Not bad, not shabby. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to get to more of your calls. I do want to talk about this. Can I call it an old man beef? Isaiah Thomas and Oakley, Tyreek Hill ready to quit. And then we're going to talk some Masters. Don't go anywhere. CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer. Check. Motorized solar shades. Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 45% off selected products. 45% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey's I'm Listening is our commitment to more mental health conversations. Dr. John Draper talks about the new 988 short code for mental health suicide lifeline.
In terms of just providing access to a service that we know is effective in reducing emotional distress and suicidality among people who contact, you're definitely going to reach more people, including save more lives.
Talk saves lives. For more mental health conversations, visit imlistening.org.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.